Lesson from the first chapter of the book of John. First chapter of the book of John. And this is, Jesus is beginning his ministry here, and the apostles are being called out and they're following him. He's gone down with John the Baptist, and a couple of John's disciples left John and followed Jesus. And we're going to start here with the 45th verse of the first chapter of the Gospel according to John. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Reading, that's the 44th through the 51st verse of the first chapter of the Gospel of John. I've never taken the thought that's upon our heart in this manner before, so I ask that you pray for us. But the thought on our heart comes from the 48th verse. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. Now, you can go to commentaries, and because this is really kind of a mystery. What is it that Nathanael was doing under a fig tree that let him know for sure that this was Christ? Now, the Scripture doesn't give us an answer, but I believe that just from looking at this and reading the context, I have a persuasion that I believe it was something powerful that had happened. It was something that proved to Nathanael beyond any shadow of a doubt that this man that Philip had said, come and see, was the Messiah. Now, what I think that happened here is when he saw Nathanael and he said, there's an Israelite indeed. I think he's saying he is not only a natural Jew, but Nathanael is a spiritual Jew.
Amen.
Meaning that Nathanael had heartfelt salvation.
Right.
And when Nathanael gets there and he says, you know, okay, whence do you know me? How do you know me? I've never seen you before. I've never set eyes on this man before me. How do you know me? And when Jesus says, when you were under that fig tree, I'm persuaded that what Jesus told Nathanael there was his testimony. You were under that fig tree that time. You were praying, and I saved your soul, Nathanael. I know who you are. I know you. And Jesus knows each and every one of us, both sinner and saved. He knows us. Now, the difference between a sinner and me is I know Jesus.
Right.
And if you're lost and separated from God, you've never met Him. But He knows you. He knows everything about you. He knows everything that you've ever done, everything that you're going to do, everything that is possible to know about you. He knows. He knows you better than you know yourself. Now, in the scripture, it talks about knowing Jesus. And I'm not going to get too graphic here, but the word that it uses there, if you go back to the Greek of know, is the same know of how a husband knows his wife. A, they live together and they spend time together, and you know more about your spouse than anybody else knows about them. If you're doing it right and you're living your life right, you know more about them. You know all of their little habits. You know how that they squeeze the toothpaste from the middle rather than the bottom. All the little things that irritate you, those are precious things that other people don't know. That is an intimate knowledge. The other part of that is the intimate relationship between a husband and a wife. That knowledge of knowing and the emotional bond that is caused by that is the same type of bond that we have with Jesus.
Amen.
Only greater.
Amen.
Only stronger that relationship we have with Jesus is. So he knows you, and he calls out to you to come to him. To back up our thought, and it's not our intention to be long tonight at all, and I always hesitate to say that because it seems like when a preacher says that, about an hour and a half later, he closes his book. But it's not our intention at all. In the book of Mark, I want to take up a lesson that shows us how much Jesus knows us. Now, the story or the events that are given here are recorded both in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And they're very well known. And the scriptures there begin at the 21st verse, and we'll read some of it, and then I'll just tell you about most of it. But Jesus has been on one side of the sea there, and they get in a ship, and they go to the other side, and he gets out of the boat. And when he gets out of the boat, there's a chieftain there that comes to him and says, "Jesus, my daughter is sick. She needs to be healed. Won't you come? Won't you come with me and heal my daughter?" And Jesus begins to make his way. Now, everybody that's around there heard what this man asked of Jesus. And when they heard that Jesus is going to go and heal this woman, this girl, this daughter of this man, they're excited and they all just began to crowd around him, just like a great mob to follow him. They thought they were going to get to see something. Just like today, if you're around and something starts happening, you're in a restaurant or you're somewhere and something starts happening over in the back corner, what do? We get up and, well, they call it rubbernecking on the road, don't they? We get up and we start stretching around to see what's going on. That's exactly what was happening here. People had a curiosity that heard of this man Jesus and they thought, we're going to get to see a miracle. So they just, I don't know whether it was hundreds or how many, but it was enough that they were just bouncing off of each other as they walked. You know, have you ever been to a concert or some event, and after it's over and you're leaving and you're going down the escalators and you're walking and you're just so tight with each other that, you know, you're just kind of bouncing around and just walking with everybody else? You can't stop, because if you stop, you're going to get ran over. That's what this was like. There were people all around him, and they were just walking and tied together and just excited. But there was this woman. And this woman, the Bible says that she had an issue of blood. Now, a couple of delicate topics here. One I've already hit. Let's talk about the next one. People don't understand what's wrong with this woman. She had an issue of blood. When you go and you look and you dig down to figure out what's wrong with her, she was constantly bleeding in a feminine way. So she was constantly losing blood. It was draining to her body. Her body was becoming weak. She was, automatically we think of anemia and all of these things that her body was having to endure, because this had been going on for a long time. But the thing we don't think about is that this also had an effect on her social and cultural life. Because during this time, when that occurred, they were considered unclean, and there were things that she could not participate in. But this was constant. It never stopped. So she was removed sort of from society because of her illness. She was isolated. She was separated. So she's sick in body. She's sick socially. But then more importantly, she's sick spiritually. She didn't know God. She didn't know Jesus. She heard that Jesus was going to be there. Now, she had taken all the money that she had. Now, if you're reading Mark, you're going to find that what I'm saying is pulled from all three of the Gospels, because all three of them tell a little different thing that the other one doesn't tell. But she had spent basically every dime that she had to try to get well. Now, I'm sure when it first started and she had more money, she went to the best doctors that her money could provide. And the scripture tells us that she had endured all kinds of treatments. Now, after a while, when she got low of money, you know, she probably couldn't afford to go to the good doctors anymore. So now she's going to just anywhere. She was desperate. Anybody that said that they could help her, she was going to. And there was probably a lot of quackery at the time, so there's no telling what they were having her do. But I can imagine that the more that she did to try to heal her body, the worse she felt and the worse it was. She couldn't find any help anywhere. And she thought within herself, if I can just get to this man, Jesus, he can help me. He can make a difference in my life. But you remember that all of this crowd of people were all around him. And by the time that she got there, there was already this crowd, and he was way out in the middle. And she had to get to him. She had to work her way around these people. And when you're in a crowd and they're shoulder to shoulder and you're trying to pry through, it was hard. It was difficult. She had an obstacle that she had to overcome to get to Jesus. Sinner friend, I know, boys and girls, that you have tried. That you have been on the altar. That you have been a mourner. And you have tried. It's the same thing with this lady. She knew where the goal was. She was trying to get to Jesus, but she had to keep on trying. And you know, I've often thought about this, and the picture in my head is that she would probably get a couple of rolls in these people, and then somebody would cut her off, and it put her a little farther back. And then she'd have to try again to get up through there, and she kept struggling back and forth, because she said, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, He'll fix me. He'll fix me. Now that's a southern saying right there. He will fix me. He will fix my body. He will fix my heart. He will fix my life. If I can just get to Him. Now, the next thought I want you to take in your mind is, where is a Him? Now, we know that during this time that Jesus would have been wearing two garments. He would have had on an inner garment that was like a tunic. And then He would have had on an outer garment, kind of like a robe. Just a side note, that robe was very important. That robe, first off, kept him warm. Also, we don't understand this, but it also kept him cool. And the robe was also their covering at night. If they were cold, they would pull it up like a blanket. If it was raining, they would stake it up like a tent. The robe in this culture was very important. It was a utilitarian garment that was important, and it signified who they were. She wanted just to touch the hem of that garment. Where is the hem? It's not up on his cuffs. It's down at the very bottom of that garment. She wanted to get at the very bottom of that garment and just touch the hem. Now, all of this crowd, her trying to get through, I can picture it. I think she finally gave up on trying to force her way through, and I think she got down low. She crunched down just as low as she could to go through the middle and underneath those people to get to Jesus. I think she crawled on the dirt, crawled on the ground just to get close enough to reach out and touch him.
That's right.
It was a struggle. It was hard, but she kept going. She kept going, and she finally had made her way up there, and she was low enough that she reached out and she touched the hem of that garment. And the scripture tells us that immediately she was made whole.
That's right.
The scripture in Mark says that the flow of blood stopped. Her body was instantly healed.
Amen.
When her body was healed, now she was once again able to go back into a societal life and intermingle with people. Her social life was healed. But more important than that, her soul was healed. Because she had faith. If I just touch Jesus, I can know Him. When she touched the garment, Jesus stopped. He just stopped. And He looked around and He said, "Who's touched me?" And the apostles said, I'm sure they were almost sarcastic with Him, "Lord, what do you mean who touched you? There's hundreds of people around you. They're all touching you. What do you mean?" And He said, very important here, "I can feel that virtue has gone out from me."
Right.
Now, first off, Jesus knew just exactly who touched Him. There was no question in Jesus' mind. He knew that this woman with the issue of blood was going to touch His garment before He even got off the boat. He knew what was happening. He knew that she had touched His garment and she was made whole. But He wanted something of her. What did He want of her? He wanted her to profess what He had done for her. Sinner friend, I want you to do something for me. I came here tonight with the expectation of seeing good things.
Amen.
Seeing the Lord work and seeing the power of God.
Amen.
When you get saved. Not if, but when. When you get saved, tell it.
Amen.
Tell it. There have been so many people that have come in and they've gotten saved and they never said a thing about it. I think at some point in time this week I mentioned Jim Templin. He's one that got saved on a burnt log in the corner of the tobacco patch. He's one that gave me advice off and on. Jim got saved when he was a boy, but he never told anybody about it. He said, "I knew I was saved, but I didn't want to tell anybody." And he said he went, I think it was almost 30 years. His kids were already basically grown, and he was at a revival service at Siloam, and the service was good, and the Lord finally said, "You're going to do this, and you're going to do it tonight." Jim finally stood up, and they thought, "Oh, he's going to the altar." He stood up and he said, "The Lord saved me when I was a boy on a burnt log." And the whole church erupted. And he described it. He said, "You know, I was saved and I was eating grass and I was able to live, but it was just like I was an old goat on the side of a hill that all there was up there was a few crunchy sprigs of grass and a whole lot of rocks. But when I finally told it, it was like Jesus just picked me up and put me down in a green pasture and there was tender grass that I could eat till I was full."
Amen.
That's the way the Lord works. You know, salvation is great. Salvation is the most important thing that will ever happen to any individual.
That's right.
But you'll never enjoy it until you tell it.
That's right.
Now I'm going to go a step farther right there. Not only are you supposed to tell it when you get saved, but our first commandment after telling it is to unite with the Lord's church and be baptized. That's not, in my opinion, I think the scripture bears it out, that's not optional. That's what you are required to do. It is an expectation from God and a commandment. While I'm here, let me just go ahead and pick on one of my pet peeves. We've gotten it in our mind somehow that, and I've seen kids at Siloam to get saved and to tell about it, and then they just go and go and go and go and don't unite with the church. And part of that's because we as God's people talk all the time about the Lord's going to lead you, the Lord's going to lead you, the Lord's going to lead you, and He does, but you know, following Him in baptism is a commandment.
That's right.
Sometimes I think He tests you. Are you going to do what I've told you to do and you know you're supposed to do? Or are you going to wait till I just have to beat you up before you do it?
Right.
I've seen many of people to step forward because the Lord, because they knew they were supposed to do it. And before they got down the altar, they were shouting. You should do it because you love Jesus.
Right.
The Lord's going to be in it. Now, I'm not telling you to step out, but y'all understand what I'm saying. Don't wait till the Lord has to beat you up before you do what He wants you to do. Sometimes I listen to our people talk, and you know, we'll see somebody in the back of the house that needs to make a talk, and they'll be white-knuckled. Standing there, and they'll just fight it, and fight it, and fight it, and fight it, and finally tell whatever it is the Lord wants them to tell, and we will just get so excited over that. But do you know what that fighting was? Sin.
Yeah.
It was sin. We celebrate that God beat him up because he wouldn't do what he was supposed to do. Well, he should have done it in the first place. When God told it to him the first time. And not wait and wait and wait and wait until he's beat you to death.
Right.
And you got to do it. Do y'all understand the difference there? When you get that first impression, do it. Sometimes I know young converts, they get started and they don't really know what to do. And so what happens is they get that first impression and that first heart of, I need to say what the Lord did for me. And they wait. And you know what happens when they wait? The devil is right there saying, no, they don't want to hear you. You just got saved. They don't want to hear you. But if the Lord's laying it on you, we need to hear you. We need to hear you. So when you get saved, tell it. The worst thing that could happen, not the worst thing, it's not, that was a misspoke. The worst thing that could happen is for you to be lost and separated from God and die and go to hell. The other bad thing that could happen is for you to get saved, never tell anybody about it, and you die with your whole family and loved ones thinking that you died without God. Tell it. That's what Jesus wanted here.
Right.
When he said, who touched me? He wanted her to tell her profession of faith and give an experience of getting saved. And she sat there, and at first she kind of waited. She kind of waited because she was scared. She was worried. Finally, she said, I did. And I've always had this picture of her still being crouched down. And when he said, who touched me? Her kind of looking up. I've seen it so many times with sinners on the altar. And they look up and you can see the countenance on their face has completely changed. They went from being troubled and tormented to relief. Peace. So I've always seen her face just kind of shining. And finally, it says that she was trembling and she says, gee, I did it. And I think then she probably started rejoicing. Not only did she start rejoicing, but I am persuaded that probably all of those apostles and those disciples that were around about that figured out what it was that happened and that he was talking about, they got to feeling good right here. Now, I don't know how long it was, but they stayed there long enough that while they were there with this woman who got saved, that man's daughter died. Now, he goes and he takes care of that. And I don't want to get off into that. I want to stay with this woman. Sinner friend, I know you have tried. I know that it is difficult. I know that it is hard to keep going and keep trying and how frustrated you can be. How do I know that? Because we all felt the same way. This woman felt that way. As she was passing through that throng of people, and there were so many people, and she knew that she just wanted to touch the hem of that garment, she took two steps forward and one step back. But she kept going. She kept going. And she kept going until it paid off. And when she got close enough to him and she reached out and she touched that hem of his garment, everything changed. For the first time in her life, she knew Jesus. She knew him. Now, when you first get saved, you don't know him as well as what you're eventually going to know him. Now, I didn't understand that when I was young. None of us do, because you'd hear people say it gets sweeter every day and it gets sweeter with age. It does.
Right.
Because before long in your life, you can look back and see all the times that Jesus was there with you and helping you and got you through things that you didn't think you could do. And he helped you. Sinner friend, my question to you here tonight is, don't you want to know Jesus? It's already been said, you have to be determined. Don't turn back. We're getting ready to have an altar call. And I hope and I pray that you have considered your condition all day today.
That's right.
And if you choose to come to this altar, I beg of you to come with the determination of this woman that you're going to keep trying until you find them. Don't turn back. Don't give up. Don't get tired. Keep reaching.
Amen.
Keep reaching. You know, the words that we use, I thought of this on the way home last night. We always tell sinners words because that's all we've got. It's the best way that we can describe it. But there are no words to explain how you get saved. No words at all. Because even though we say you've got to trust them, you've got to submit, well, that still doesn't describe it. Why? Because it's not a physical thing. It's not a carnal thing. It's not a mental thing. It is a spiritual thing. And as a sinner, the only thing that you have experienced that is spiritual is condemnation.
That's right.
So you don't know. Just like I've told many sinners, and they say, well, I don't know how to pray. Well, we didn't either. You know what the first prayer that you will ever pray will be? It'll be the one that you pray right before you get saved. That's the first time that you'll pray. Up until that point that you finally reach the Lord and touch the hem of that garment, you've never prayed. Brother J.D. Sanders, I've mentioned him several times. He was in a revival at Rocky Mound. He was pastoring up there, and there was a young woman with a couple of kids, and she was on the altar and she was praying, and he kept telling her, trust him. And she'd say, I am. He'd say, no, you're not. If you were, you'd be saved. Trust him. I am. No, you're not. Because our words can't really tell you what it is. You don't know till you've done it. But sinner friend, just like this woman, at the end of a prayer is going to come peace. Is going to come a newness of life that we can't explain to you. There's a song, and I think it's even scripture, that it's better felt than told. We cannot tell you, but you can feel it.
That's right.
You can feel it. And you can feel it tonight. And then someday, when you're out in life and you get low, you can have the same experience that Nathaniel had right here in our reading lesson. When you get low and you're thinking, Lord, I just don't know how I can do this, you can hear that little still voice say, David, I know you. You might even say, but not really, you don't know what I'm in, you don't know the trouble. And he whispers to me, I remember you when you were on that altar there at Ely Church. And he reminds us that he gave us the entire world. Sinner friend, I want you to have that same experience. Be determined. Reach out for his garment. Don't back down. Don't get discouraged by all the things that are standing in your way, but be determined that you're going to reach out and touch him tonight. While the congregation might stand, that's our message.